worship. It's neat to stand and to adore God in song. And so I hope that you'll let your hearts be drawn out in that same adoration for God as we just go ahead and move on forward with the service. And I ask that you would lift our brother, Apostle Joel Yates, up in your prayers as he stands, that the Lord would have free will, bring forth his words unto us. And also that prayer is for each of us, that as the Lord just sees right through us, he knows us better than anyone, that he will see the things we need most and bring them to us. And so I'll turn the service over to you, Joel.
I would appreciate your prayers. You know, as I actually forgot I was supposed to be preaching this Sunday. And in the middle of this last week, I was looking at my calendar and found that my name was Sunday evening. And you know how my crazy work schedule is. Every third Sunday and Wednesday, I'm at work. So I didn't hear those announcements. And I'd been in Mexico before that. So I had forgotten about this particular evening. And as I was going through the end of the week, and I had other studies to do and things, and I didn't really feel like I had any particular thing on my mind to preach. And you know, yesterday I had to work, and I was telling the Lord, well, you're going to take me right down to the wire, aren't you? But I prayed about it, and I felt no anxiety. And this morning, last night actually, I got up for a fire, and it was a small one. We were back by about midnight, but I got back and I couldn't sleep, and I picked up my scriptures and I started to read, and I read until I was tired, couldn't think anymore, and got up this morning and my mind was filled with thoughts to present, and I came to church and I had a bunch of my scriptures already written down, and lo and behold, our Sunday school class and Jerry talked about some of the very scriptures that I was going to read. And I thought, this is how God works. And I'm grateful. I want to use tonight as my text. And what I feel like the Lord has put on my mind is the scripture that's found in Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9. This is a very familiar reading to you, and you've heard it. It's been quoted. It's one of those ones that we read a lot. It says this: "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, what I really want to talk about tonight is finding the Lord. Finding the Lord, seeking the Lord. How do we do that? You know, what are we to seek him about, and how do we go about doing that? When I was in Mexico, I had several days that I was able to travel with young Placido, and in the course of our conversation with him and some of my conversation with Jay, we talked about our old brother Placido. And one day when Zach and I were with young Placido on our way to one of our places that we were going to go for a service, he was telling me about his father. One day he was sick, and he went over to administer to him, and he laid his hands on his head, and you know, he's not thinking quite right now. He doesn't think quite like you and I do, but he laid his hands on his head, and he prayed for him. He administered to him, and immediately when he finished, his father prayed like he always had. the same way he always had. And he began to tell me about some of the elements of his prayer, some of the elements that distinguished this man of God. He told me how he prayed for the Lord to help him overcome his weaknesses and his sins, strengthen him. As he prayed for himself and he prayed for the people, And I thought about many of the testimonies that I heard while I was there of the experiences that this man had because he sought the Lord. He was found. He was found of the Lord. Questions were answered. He was strengthened to endure until his race was done. I was thinking of those things this morning as I considered these verses. I want to go through them just a little bit. You know, we're encouraged here by Isaiah to seek the Lord while he may be found. And there are times when he is going to be closer to us. Times when he can be found. And he says to call on him while he's near. There's other times in our life when he's far away. He tells us that partly what we have to do is the wicked must forsake his way. And then he says the unrighteous man his thoughts. Our thoughts are involved in seeking the Lord. This was talked about this morning. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And tells us that he will abundantly pardon, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, we're reminded in these last two verses, 8 and 9, that the thoughts of the Lord are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. And he's calling us to his ways, not ours. You know, we can't seek him and think that we just want the answers for us right here on our level. That's not what the Lord wants us to seek. He wants us to seek something higher than ourselves. He's not telling us to seek for just simple things, but to seek him. To seek his ways and his thoughts. Something that are foreign to the nature of men. But these are the things to which you and I are called to seek the Lord when he's near. That he wants to be found. We know that in Matthew 7, and I'm going to go there. Jerry read it in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read it in the Bible tonight. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? You know, when I read these verses, you know, I kind of analyze them similar to what Jerry did this morning, and I was doing that this morning, and I thought, you know, what are you asking for? When we come and we ask the Lord, what are you asking for? Do you ask, what are some good things for us to ask for? Is it important for you young people to know who you should marry? Yeah. What kind of business or job you should get involved with? Where you should live? I mean, you know, we can go through a list a mile long. And I was thinking about that this morning, and I thought, you know, I remember a statement. You know, I've asked a lot of people in my travels, you know, hey, how's your son or your daughter? And usually what I hear from a lot of them is, well, the only time I hear from them is when they need something. And I wonder sometimes if God doesn't kind of feel the same way about us. We are encouraged to ask. But when does he hear from us? Just when we need something? Yesterday I had an experience at work. The other captain and I kind of let our chief down. He needed us to do something, and we had a big miscommunication. And didn't understand each other, and we kind of didn't do what he wanted us to do. And he called us on it. And we found ourselves over in his office asking him to forgive us. And, you know, he made a statement. And I think it's so important. He said, you know, we do play favoritism. He said, I give the best that I can for the guys that will work and do the right things. And he said, I've always felt that way about you too, you know. And I thought, you know, about that statement that he made. You know, isn't God the same way? Isn't he looking, you know, he's looking for that. You know, if I have my house phone and my cell phone and they're ringing at the same time, and there's this person that's always keeping up with me and always maintaining a relationship, and then there's this other person, the only time I ever hear from them is when there's trouble and they need something, which one am I going to answer first? And I wonder, you know, is God somewhat like that? That he's looking for those that will maintain something with him. What is it that we are asking? And how do we ask for it? Seeking. It says to ask, by the way, here in this scripture in verse 7. It says this word means to beg, to call for, to crave, to desire. The things that we do ask God in righteousness, the things that we desire of him, it has to be sincere. Can't be that every once in a while, well, it would sure be nice to know this or would be nice to know that. It requires a craving in us to know the answer. He tells us to seek, and we know that to seek, to worship God, to desire, endeavor, inquire, require, to seek after. And you know, the word knock, it literally means to rap. And we understand that is the door, you know, asking the Lord to answer. What I love about these verses is he tells us that he wants to give us the good things. Not just what you and I think we need, but the good things. The things that he knows that we need because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. If we went back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jerry read this today out of the Book of Mormon, but he gives us a heads up first of where it all begins. And I appreciate that the Lord caused this to be written for us. But he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, prior to those verses, he talked about housing, and he talked about clothing, and he talked about food. He talked about the fact that God can take care of everything. But if we're going to seek the Lord, if you want to find him, where do you start? If you're overly concerned about the physical things and the things, you know, I want to find out who I should marry. Really? Is that where we start? How about finding out what God has for you in your life? How about having a desire to be involved? Have his involvement in our life as a servant. The other part is seeking his righteousness. You know, if we've forgotten all those other things, does it matter who you marry if your life isn't righteous before God? If he's not leading you in any other direction, does it matter? Is it going to help you? Probably not. He tells us the first thing we must seek is his kingdom. All these other things that you and I want, they are important. And they are important to God. But it must start with you seeking to know where you belong in his kingdom. Seeking his ways and his thoughts, which are higher, so that you know what his plan is for your life. Are you looking for the plan? Do you know what he has? Do you want to know? Do you want to be found in the image of his son? to be found in His righteousness, because you and I have none of ourselves. He tells us when we start there, those other things are added. Then He wants to share with you these things. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. But He wants you first to look for the spiritual things that would lead you in life to a relationship with Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you and I know how important this is. We've read this. It's about faith. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We know that God is a rewarder if you diligently seek Him. And we've read what He wants us to seek Him about. He's the rewarder. That's when we get our reward. When we find the answers that we're looking for. When we find His leading and guiding. I want to turn to page 712 in the Book of Mormon. For those of you that might have a different one, I want to go to Mormon chapter 4. And we're going to read in verse 84 and then 92 to 95. And it says this, but I say unto you, that whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. He wants us to ask. He wants us to come believing, diligently seeking Him, as we read in faith. When we come in this faith and we diligently seek Him, we can ask the Lord for those things which we need, and it will be granted. But then He kind of tells us, and He clarifies Himself a little lower in this reading, and or a little further in this reading. In verse 92, He says, oh, then despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye stand in need. The invitation of God to seek Him for all the things that we stand in need of. But He goes on, doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart. And work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before Him. Where does it have to start? Our seeking the Lord has to start with our personal lives. Seeking the Lord and His salvation with a whole heart. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not that you may consume it on your lusts. But ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. You know, when we seek the Lord, what is the first things? His righteousness. Strengthen us against temptation. Help us to be in your service. That higher calling to which God's people are called. Not to be lost in the personal needs that we have, the things that we want, but the things that God wants for us. To know when we seek Him that it's because He has things for us, that He wants for us. And then we come. We don't ask Him about the things that we're lusting after, but His will. That we won't yield to temptation, but be in His service. You know, when I got in the Book of Chronicles, I found, and through the writings of David and in the Old Testament, many times, if you look up, I think there was 233 times in the Bible that the word seek came up. Seek. And many of those were talking about seeking the Lord. David in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9, he said to his son, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. You know, over and over, through the book of Chronicles especially, king after king was told to seek the Lord. Seek, to tread, to frequent, to follow, for pursuit, or search, to worship, diligently inquire. Seek the Lord, and you can be found of Him, it says. Later in the book of Chronicles, in chapter 12, we're going to read about a man that that was a king of Israel, and his name was Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam was not a godly man. And, you know, the Lord had had enough of his wickedness, and he sent a prophet to him, and he told him the king of Egypt was going to come up against Jerusalem. And he did. But when this servant of the Lord approached him, we're going to read it. We're going to start in verse 5. Then came Shemaiah the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves, and they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, They have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance, and my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service, and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem, and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made, instead of which Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, and the guard came and fetched them and brought them again unto the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. In verse 14, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You know, when I look at this, you know, the Lord, he provides us these times. He provides us times of humility by things that come, that we run into in our lives. We find ourselves humbled. But that doesn't mean that we always seek Him. Here Rehoboam sought Him just enough that the Lord's wrath was turned away, his life was spared, but he did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. I'm sure he felt bad for his sins. Have you ever been to that place where you feel sorry for your sins, and that's as far as it goes? And tomorrow I feel sorry for those sins, and the next day, that's not the walk that God has called us to, but to seek Him with our heart. To set your heart to seek the Lord in your life for those things which matter, which are able to change your life forever, that you might be found in the Lord. Jerry read it today, and he mentioned that Adam read it today. Psalm 10:4, the wicked, though through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thought, in all his thoughts. He can humble us, and yet we can still fail to be found in Him, to set our heart to seek Him. Proverbs chapter 1. If I don't go too far here. Proverbs chapter 1, verses, I'm going to start in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorn, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. The Lord comes to us so often, in so many ways. He corrects us. Do you hear His correction? Make no mistake about it, the storm's coming. I've seen it. I got a call yesterday from a friend of mine. She's not a member of our church. She saw the news, what happened to Japan. And she said, I just need to know, is everything okay? You know, when I read these things, the Lord, so many times through His ministry, through your friends, through people that care about us, through His Word, He tells us of the things which are of heaven, the high things, the knowledge that's His. He corrects us and He calls to us through sermons and through testimonies. If you and I aren't taking them seriously, if we're not seeking the Lord to make the changes, there's going to come a day when your fear is going to be real for a reason. Because He's not going to answer you. Because you haven't sought Him. And He tells us this. I think it's very important to remember. You can seek Him early. He can humble you from time to time. He can tell you what He wants. And you can feel badly. But you must choose to go on. You must set your heart to seek Him. If you do not set your heart to seek Him, He will not be found of you. In Mosiah chapter 6, verse 6, it says, speaking of the people that went back, they wanted to go back to the land of Nephi. And this is what it says. They went with a man named Zeniff, and he's writing this. And he says, and yet I, being overzealous to inherit the land of our fathers, collected as many as were desirous to go up to possess the land, and started again on our journey in the wilderness to go up to the land. But we were smitten with famine and sore afflictions, for we were slow to remember the Lord our God. In the next chapter, we read what happened to that same group of people. It's chapter 7, verse 28. Chapter 7, verse 28, page 241, if you have the 1990 edition. Starting in verse 28. It came to pass that there was a man among them whose name was Abinadi, and he went forth among them and began to prophesy, saying, behold, thus saith the Lord, and thus He hath commanded me, saying, go forth and say unto this people, thus saith the Lord, woe be unto this people, for I have seen thine abominations and their wickedness and their whoredoms, and except they repent, I will visit them in my anger, and except they repent and turn to the Lord, their God, behold, I will deliver them into the hands of their enemies. Yea, and they shall be brought into bondage, and they shall be afflicted by the hand of their enemies, and it shall come to pass that they shall know that I am the Lord their God, and am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of my people. And it shall come to pass that except this people repent and turn unto the Lord their God, they shall be brought into bondage, and none shall deliver them, except it be the Lord, the Almighty God. Yea, and it shall come to pass that when they shall cry unto me, I will be slow to hear their cries, yea, and I will suffer them that they shall be smitten by their enemies. And except they repent in sackcloth and ashes and cry mightily unto the Lord their God, I will not hear their prayers, neither will I deliver them out of their afflictions. You know, the Lord, has He changed? Does He work differently today? He visits us at all times. When we are following our own ways, and we wonder sometimes why He's not answering. Because He's going to be slow. He wants us to seek Him the way He prescribed, which is through repentance, through humbling ourselves, which was talked about as well this morning. So I want to talk about what it means. We can see what happens when we don't seek Him. We see what He does. Let's talk about what happens when we seek Him. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 8. In the 8th chapter of Proverbs, I'm going to read verse 13 to 21. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me." What is this word early? At dawn. Get up in the morning. Those first things in your heart as you seek the Lord. As you thank Him for the night of safety and rest. You seek Him early. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness." What is it that He brings? Not only riches, but righteousness. He brings it with Him. It's part of this relationship. It's what we get when we seek the Lord, righteousness. "For my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." What a marvelous thing the Lord has promised to those that seek Him. He's promised us righteousness. He's promised us treasure, durable riches, the best things in life. When we seek Him early, He says we can find Him. We know all the Scriptures. There's many of them that talk about finding the Lord. In I'm not going to read it, but in Alma chapter 17, you know that He talks about, you know, when we cry to the Lord, morning, midday, and evening. And He talks about getting up in the morning and being thankful to the Lord. I want to go to John chapter 10. I want to talk about finding the Lord. What does this mean? And we seek Him early, we'll find Him. When we take counsel and we fear the Lord, we'll find Him. I'm going to read just a few verses. I'm going to read verse 14 first. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." The good shepherd knows his sheep, and is known of them. Verses 27 to 29. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I know, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me. You know, Jerry talked all day about building our house on the rock. about what it means to follow the Lord, what it means to do the things that he did. He laid it out there throughout the whole morning service. Following the Lord, being with him, knowing him, having that relationship is what God is looking for when we seek him. His ways becoming our ways, higher. His thoughts becoming our thoughts. I want to read on page 635. And this piece I'm going to read out of the Book of Mormon because it adds a couple words that I think are very important. Jerry read this morning. I want to read in verse 53 of 3 Nephi chapter 5. And it says this, "And blessed are all they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." You know, we're promised, you know, how do we relate to God? Through the Spirit. How does he know us? Because he knows the Spirit. And when that Spirit is working in our lives and its fruits are being borne by us, he knows us. We know him. I think about this. You know, if you're hungry and thirsting for something, when do you stop looking for it? You know, I went on a canoe trip one time with a bunch of folks down in southern Missouri, and I was with Randy Sheldon, and anybody that knows Randy knows he's got a little sweet tooth. And we had, I think, 3 canoes full of people, and we threw all of our gear in, and I said, you know, before we left, I said, Do I need to take my wallet? And he goes, oh, no, we don't need money or anything. We got food. We got everything. We got down there. We'd been paddling and working hard and got partway down on our trip, probably a third of the way, and pulled over off to the side. And he started getting in there all the garbage bags that we had everything in so they wouldn't get wet. And we found no food. There was nothing there. He tore every one of them apart, had everything setting out. What? Who forgot the food? We were by a little road that crossed that little tiny river, and literally, I thought we were out in the middle of nowhere. And he says, I'm going to just walk right up this road here and see if there's a store or something up there. I'm like, good luck. He was not to be put, there was no way he was giving up. You know, he walked up there, and sure enough, he found a store. He had a little change in his pocket. He went to the store guy and said, we got 9 people down there. We forgot our food. This is all I have. I'll make a deal. I'll bring some money back. You know, we were talking about, well, if he finds a store, he's going to come back. Nope, didn't find anything up there, but you know, he did. He comes back with a grocery bag full of food. We were dividing peanuts, dividing everything. But he was not going to stop until he found it. Is this how you and I are with righteousness? Are we good enough just this way? Or are we hungry to the point that we're going to keep searching? Thirsting till we are able to drink. How do you handle righteousness? The Spirit of God calls us. You know, Jerry said it today, and it was when he said it, I told my wife, I just shook my head, and she said, what? And I said, he said exactly the words that were placed in my heart today. We're called to victory, not to be victims. The children of Christ are called to victory. And that victory is to find the righteousness of Christ in our life. Is it possible? Jerry talked about perfection, becoming like him, that higher way of thinking, God's way, that higher way of being, his way. And we're told to hunger and thirst for it till you find it. Don't rest until you find it. If you haven't set your heart to seek it, you better set your heart, or the day is going to come upon you and you're going to be filled with fear. And I want to talk just a little bit about righteousness. Hosea says in chapter 10, verse 12, he said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Break up the fallow ground. That ground has just been laying there, unprepared. You have to get in there and prepare your heart for righteousness. You have to seek him. It's not something he's just going to make you take. You have to seek it. But his promise is that he will be with you. And so I want to talk a little bit about righteousness. In Romans chapter 13, it's one of those verses that I read last night or early this morning. And I couldn't get it off my mind this morning as I was preparing. In verse 11, it says this: "And that knowing that the time is now, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." You know, God provides armor. You can possess it. It's not beyond your reach. You have, with that armor that God provides, the ability to cast off works of darkness, to find him as we seek him. He tells us in verse 14, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Jesus said, I know Frank preached about it at our reunion, you know, that one verse, "Be even as I am." Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Find him, and you will when you seek him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us about the ability of this armor that God can provide. And we know we can do a whole study on these things, but I desire tonight just simply to give you confidence in what God provides us. Chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You know, if you're not seeking the Lord to help you overcome in your life, you've missed the main issue that he has with us. What he really wants. The most important thing, to be like him. He tells us that our weapons are mighty to be able to pull down Satan's strongholds in our life, whatever they are. He doesn't say, well, except for, he says, they're capable of pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know, there are things out there that people try to get over to us all the time. They try to reason these things that are far lower than the Word of God. Things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, he's able to put them down in his own way. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, the Lord has the ability. The weapons that he's provided, that armor of light, has the ability to even bring every thought to the captivity of Christ. Do you think you could do that? You can if you follow him. That's his promise. You can if you follow him. This is the plan of God. This is his goal for us. It is what he desires us to seek him for, that we could have his righteousness. And how important will that be? I want to read in 1 Nephi chapter 7. Verse, it's on page 75. I'm going to read in verse 32. For behold, thus saith the prophet, the time cometh speedily that Satan shall have no more power over the hearts of the children of men. Did you just hear that? There's going to come a time when Satan has no more power. No power. Over the hearts of the children of men. And we're going to read why in just a little bit. For the day soon cometh that all the proud and they which do wickedly shall be as stubble. And the day cometh that they must be burned. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God shall be poured out upon the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come, and the righteous be preserved, even unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be as by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come. Yea, even blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and it must needs be upon the face of the earth. And he goes on to talk about a lot of other things, the judgment of God in the world. He talks about the judgment of the Lord on the kingdom of the devil that's built up among the children of men and built up in the churches. And he says that he's going to bring all those things into the dust. And he says then in verse 55, the time comes speedily that the righteous must be led up as calves of the stall, and the Holy One of Israel must reign in dominion and might and power and great glory. And he gathereth his children from the four quarters of the earth, and he numbereth his sheep, and they know him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd, and he shall feed his sheep, and in him they shall find pasture. And because of the righteousness of the people, Satan hath no power. Wherefore he cannot be loosed for the space of many years, for he hath no power over the hearts of the people, for they dwell in righteousness, and the Holy One of Israel reigneth. He's promised us victory over sin. The power of Satan that causes us over and over again to mourn, to fear. There will come a day when God's people find a righteousness that has unbound from their heart. This can be found in Jesus Christ if you seek Him. You can find these things. This is His promise to us. We know that in 1 Nephi chapter 3, it talks about His people. It says they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God and great glory. How God wants to arm His people. Are you seeking the Lord in your life? Have you found what our brother Placido found? That when you seek Him early, that when you seek Him and you ask not amiss, when you're looking at things beyond the one thing that I want to know in my prayers or just these two things, that's all I want, Lord. He wants much more than that for you. He wants your life. He wants it to be everlasting with Him. He wants that relationship and that connection that you can't find in your own little world and in your own thoughts. I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but my grandmother Wallace was a wise woman. She used to tell us when she was older and Mom was taking care of her when she was dying of cancer. She said, you know, when someone talks about going to my funeral, I just want them to know, if you didn't have time to come see me while I was alive, don't waste your time coming to my funeral. If you don't have time in your life to seek the Lord, why waste your time on your deathbed? Now is your time. Now is the day. The storms are coming. Make no mistake about it. Seek Him not for what you want. Seek Him for what He wants for you. for what he has reserved for you. Treasures. Acknowledge that you want his ways and his thoughts within you till you find the righteousness that's been promised. And make no mistake, it's a promise. Break up the fallow ground. Prepare your heart to seek the Lord. And then seek him with everything you have till you find what he has prepared for you. God bless you in your search.